What explains exuberance of stocks but carefulness of bonds? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. In early trading, the NASDAQ index has pushed itself further into this new bull market this week. At the moment, the NASDAQ is up 0.7%, 84 points. The Dow is up 0.5%, 157 points. The S&P is up 24 points, 0.6%. This amid data hinting that perhaps we'll see has inflation peaked. Yet, the benchmark 10-year interest rate has not been coming down. On Fridays, we consult Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FHN Financial.
From a stock market point of view, it's really pretty simple because we finally got not just good news about inflation, but really significantly better than expected news. With a host of prices moving downward, that implies the Fed probably doesn't have to be as aggressive on interest rates. And that in turn means the risk of deep recession is reduced. And all of that adds up to a better outlook for earnings.
Yeah, but you know, the bond market is more complicated here. I would have expected, amateur sleuth over here, for yields to be lower this week than last week, given signs that maybe inflation isn't accelerating as it was earlier in the summer. But that's not what I'm seeing for instance, the 10-year interest rate.
What it boils down to is when you dig into these reports, the CPI and the PPI both, what you see is significant broad-based improvement, as I said, but you don't see improvement yet in some of the places where inflation can be sticky. The best example of that is rents, which are still rising. And there is a fear that if the Fed relaxes, inflation could reaccelerate. And that's why when making a decision about owning a bond for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, people are still nervous that inflation could be a problem.
Christopher Lowe, Chief Economist, FHN Financial. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
The 10-year yield is up at 2.84% right now. Meanwhile, crude oil, while down more than 2% this morning, is still up for the week so far. Retail gas prices keep drifting down. It's almost 60 days in a row now they're going down. The average is $3.97 a gallon nationwide. Here's Marketplace's Kristen Schwab.
Oil prices actually dipped this morning. Both Brent and U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude futures fell 34 cents, putting them at more than $99 and $94 a barrel, respectively. But benchmark contracts are actually headed for weekly gains. Brent is on track to climb more than 4% this week. West Texas Intermediate is on track to climb more than 5%. Meanwhile, OPEC and the IEA are sending mixed signals about where the market is headed. OPEC has cut its forecast for growth in oil demand this year by 260,000 barrels a day, while the IEA has raised its forecast. That's because Russia's output has been better than expected, despite all the sanctions it's under because of its war with Ukraine. Russia's exports to Europe, Japan, Korea, and the U.S. have fallen, but India, China, and Turkey have been buying enough to soften the blow. In fact, Russian daily oil production has fallen less than 3%. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Several cities across China imposed fresh COVID restrictions yesterday. The city of Yiwu, a manufacturing hub in the east, has now entered 3 days of what authorities are calling silent management, that is, lockdown. People need to stay home. While designed to stop even bigger COVID problems, these measures affect local livelihoods and supply chains around the world. Surinjana Thawari, with our partners at the BBC, filed this for us.
For Singapore furniture brand Castlery, the pandemic was a period of immense success. Despite lockdowns and closed borders, it continued to deliver to customers in large volumes, seeing revenue growth 6 times higher than pre-pandemic levels. It had stocked up on inventory going into the pandemic, but the threat of more lockdowns in Shanghai is a concern. So, are leaders in the region seeking other market options for their goods and manufacturing? Here's Castlery's co-founder and president, Declan E.
We tried to set up facilities in Vietnam and tie up with certain suppliers, but we just realized the reliability, the quality, the QC of certain lines and certain collections and certain types of furniture, they just don't have that depth of experience and expertise yet in Vietnam.
It's scale two. China's known as the factory of the world because it makes everything and plenty of it. Castlereagh has extensive operations in Australia and is expanding into 50 cities in the United States. But China is the only manufacturing hub in Asia that can produce the volume it needs. The April and May lockdowns in Shanghai also disrupted overseas trade and rattled financial markets. ESCO is a manufacturer and service provider of lab and biopharma equipment and medical devices. It has a business presence in more than 130 countries. Operations in China have been disrupted intermittently, and it's also experienced a delay in material deliveries.
I think the world have changed completely since COVID, right? There's more onshoring, right?
That's XQ Lin, founder, chairman, and chief executive at ESCO.
The continued geopolitical conflict between the United States and China. Inflation, right? So we live in very interesting and challenging times. But there are always opportunities.
In a recent note, Nomura analysts warned that because China is the largest manufacturing center in the world, any new waves of Omicron are likely to have an impact. The opportunities might be there for the world's manufacturers, but they won't be entirely straightforward. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Suranjana Tiwari for Marketplace.
The de facto leader of the electronics conglomerate Samsung, convicted of bribery, is getting a pardon from the president of South Korea. Lee Jae-yong will get his criminal record wiped clean on Monday. The president's office suggests the pardon will help South Korea's economy. Still unresolved is the Samsung boss's involvement in a separate accounting scandal. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.